If you don't have a Bible in your lap, I'll make you to stand up and start to sing. Karen purchased a house a couple of years ago. It's not a mansion. It's a house. It's a dream house. We thought that we never could have that kind of house, but God provided. It's one of those track home. It's a great home. However, one thing I noticed as we moved in, there's this outside, there's a sitting air conditioning unit. Excuse me. And it's sitting on top of the plastic pad. It's about yay wide, this tall, about that thick. And okay, plastic pad. But that plastic pad is just sitting on top of the dirt. All right? And I was looking at the drainage in the backyard. It's going right next to the pad. I don't know much about the geography. I don't know much about the building house. However, I can tell one thing for sure. As soon as we have Arizona rain, which comes down like a cat and dog, and it comes down, and we have that big river coming down to that drainage, and of course that dirt will erode. And guess what happened? Underneath of that pad will be eroded, and there's a big space. Guess what happened? Lopsided air conditioning timber going down the drain. So I contact the builder, and they said, well, we did everything what we had to do according to building code. We are not doing anything. It's up to you. So I had to spend $300 to have the friend of mine come in and pour the concrete. I mean, he put the concrete. He did. Made it look like a Fort Knox, about yet tall, that wide. You can have a tractor on top of it. It will be fine. See, I could have the best, most powerful air conditioning I can buy from John Gecki and stick it there. And I can have the air conditioning full blast and make the icicle from the ceiling inside the house. But that air conditioning will not make the foundation stable. Guess what? The foundation makes that air conditioning unit stable. Somehow we think if I have everything down, if I have everything in the bag, I will be okay. No, we are not okay unless we have a right on the good foundation. So my Bible is open to the open for Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, that's the first book in the New Testament. Chapter 7, verse 24. And let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is you who give us foundation. It is you who make us to grow from the foundation. While we are yet sinners, you found us, you loved us, you make us to be children of God. So we come to you with open heart and open mind to receive your word. Speak to our heart. If there is anyone who do not know you, let them come to know you today. If there is anyone who is in doubt about their salvation, let them come to know you today. Let your truth be known. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 24 of chapter 7. Therefore, whoever, underline whoever, and then hears, underline that word too, please. This saying of the mind and does, underline that one too, please. Them, does them, that they will, I will liken him to wise men who built his house on the rock. Underline on the rock, please. And the rain descended, flood came, and the wind blew and beat on the house. It did not fall. Why? It says, for it was found on the rock. But everyone who hears, underline, and these things of mine, and does not do, underline, does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, on the line, on the sand. And the rain descended, flood came, and the wind blew, and beat on that house, and it fell. the great was its fall. If you notice, I said whoever and everyone. In other words, invitation of God is open to the public, anyone whosoever. I'm going to talk about Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. Some of you guys might be involved with that, or you know this relative of, or friend who is involved with that. My sister-in-law is a devout Jehovah's Witness in Korea. And they, when you find out that their doctrine, you will find out that they have an elite mentality. Unless you belong to a particular sect in their, within their religion, you are not going to have that privilege, highest privilege there. In Christianity, there's no such thing as God's pet. We are all God, happen to be all God's pet. He looked at Billy Graham just the same way as he looked at you. And he looked at me the same way as Billy Graham. Can you believe that? He does. Whether you like it or not, he looked at me the same way he looked at Billy Graham. Two identical elements is here. Number one, they both are builders. They're both building the house. Second element we find is they go through the same situation. They face the same storm, wind blow, rain come down, and the wind, flood came. Same kind of storm hit the house. And it's not little storm, but it's metaphorically speaking. This is life storm. I don't think I have to explain to you about the life storm. You guys have that. You guys been there, done that. And you probably, I'm not a prophet, but I will pretty much guarantee that you will go through. And some of you might be going through now. So you know what I'm talking about. There's a contrasting aspect. I asked you to underline a few words. They both hear the word of God, Jesus' word. But one do, the other one don't. They hear, but they don't do it. That's the difference. They both hear the word of God. As you, I don't know all of you, with this many people in this room, I can guarantee you not all of you are born-again Christian. And some of you might say, I've been in the church. Yes. But Word of God, this Bible, the truth says, I'm not going to beat around bush. You know me by now. Unless you're born again, John 3:3 says, unless you're born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Clearly says. What is born again? Receiving Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior in your heart. Period. We are going to visit a few different foundations. Obviously, it doesn't take a whole lot of theologian to figure it out. The rock is the Jesus Christ he's talking about, building on the rock. It might take effort to build the house on top of a rock because you have to put the nail through the rock. As you, the other house, you can stick the 4x4 into the sand. You can build a house pretty fast. It looks great. Let's go back to the track home I mentioned. When we moved in, we are the first home when we get off the street. So it was not that difficult to find my home. And as they build more and more and more houses, I realized one day I pulled into the wrong driveway. And I looked at the house. This doesn't look like my house. I was sober. I didn't drink anything. I don't drink. Can you imagine what would happen if you got drunk? Knock on the door. Open the door! And thinking that this is your home. I think all the subdivision track homes are built by the Oriental people, since they all look alike, you know? Some people got it, some people didn't get it. That's fine. Let's just go over. All right. When you build your home on the rock, on the good foundation, that will stay. But if you build your home, build your house, ever shifting, quicksand the foundation, that will definitely will go down. So how are we going to know if what we hear is a true foundation? Is the Bible true to you? If you say it is true to you, then you have to admit that you, whether you're going to choose that truth or not. There's no relative truth. There's only one absolute truth. Some people would like to say there's no such a thing as absolute truth. Is that right? I do this. Guess what happened? There's a gravity. That's the truth. Within the earth realm, gravity wins. Whatever goes up must come down. That's the absolute truth. And there's more than that gravity truth. Bible truth. You can deny all you want, but the truth remains. As you were in the school, as I was in the school, 1 + 1 stays 2. Not 2.56 or however you want to make it up. If you choose to believe different things, you may believe whatever you want to believe. Guess what you, what kind of school report card do you get? F. F that does not stand for fine. Truth remains. Foundation of Jesus Christ remains as a truth. So should we listen to any kind of thing comes along to us, just accept and do it? No. We have to check. There's no... you cannot trust everything you hear other than Word of God. How can we believe that Word of God is true? Many people challenge the accuracy of the Bible. As a matter of fact, I asked them to challenge me. They say, I read the Bible from cover to cover, but I find many contradictions. Then I toss the Bible back to their lab and say, find me one. Most cases, they cannot find. They heard there's a contradiction in the Bible, but they cannot find one. That challenge doesn't stand. Somebody singing? So, we must understand why the Bible is true. Most of people, agnostic people, atheist people, said the birth of Jesus, life of Jesus, death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus is nothing more than coincidence. Let's go with that idea, coincidence. All right. What is the coincidence that possibly might happen? So what kinds of challenges can when I give it to them, back to them? See, there was a recorded 48 prophecy regarding life of Jesus Christ. What if we choose just 8 prophecy? 8 prophecies. If someone who has enough intelligence, whatever the reason, he can fulfill all 8 prophecies. How are we going to do that? Let's presume that there are about, say, 1 million people, entire Jerusalem, and entire Israel. One person born, that's 1 in 1 million, correct? And person that born with the name of Jesus, Jesus is common name, every time Dick and Harry, that kind of name, so yeah. So, 1 in 100,000, maybe. So, when you start to add that kind of calculation, it becomes rather interesting. That's what we call probability. There's a guy named Peter Stoner, Dr. Peter Stoner. He is a Southern California professor, university professor. He's a mathematician. It's something he and I will not get along because I don't like math. But he is into math. And he used modern technology, modern study of probability. He calculated a person fulfilling 8 prophecy. What would that be the prophecy? There are many prophecies regarding Jesus. Number one, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. particularly Bethlehem. So how many people lived in the Bethlehem versus 1 million people in Israel? And then his name is Jesus, called Jesus. And he escaped when he was a little infant. His parents took him and went to Egypt. And he came out of Egypt and lived in Nazareth instead of going back to Bethlehem or going back to their hometown. So he was called Nazarene. And then down the road, he entered into Jerusalem on the donkey according to prophecy. And he was hung on the cross to die according to Romans' way. And he resurrected. So that 8 prophecy, what is odd for that person to fulfill all that prophecy? This is my idea of multimedia, since we cannot do anything more than that. Fulfilling 8 prophecy is 1 in 10/17 power. Whoop-de-doo. Doesn't make sense to me, right? That would be like this. If you look at it, that's 1,000, that's 1,000,000, that's 1,000,000,000, that's 1,000,000,000,000. After that, I have no idea what they're going to say. So I just call it 100 gazillion. That's good enough for me. Anyone has a term for this? No? Okay, we'll just call it 100 gazillion. So 8 prophecy, fulfilling 8 prophecy, one person to do it is 100 gazillion and one. All right? That would be same thing as, let's find 100 gazillion silver dollars. Dump them all with a dump truck in the state of Texas. In the big shining Lone Star. Texas? Any of you guys from Texas? Yeehaw, Texas, good for you. It's a big state. Other than Alaska, it's the biggest state in 48 states. Dump the silver dollar in the state of Texas all the way across. It will be that 100 gazillion silver dollar will fill up to 2 feet from the ground. Right? I will mark 1 silver dollar with a red marker, and toast that thing inside of the middle of the Texas, and stir the whole thing, 100 gazillion silver dollars, stir thoroughly, and I'm going to give you one chance to pick that guy in the middle of Texas. One chance. That's the odd. This beat the heck out of the Powerball odd. Don't you think? Fulfilling 8 prophecies. All right. What's the possibility of the fulfilling all 48 prophecies? That would be 1 in 10/157 power. And again, you had that look. You're looking at the headlight. I don't get it. All right. That would be like this. To make that numbers correctly, that would be like this. Can you see all of that? That means 157 zeros. That's the odd. Jesus fulfilled all 48 prophecies. There are many people. Josh McDowell is another one. Josh McDowell challenged the Word of God. He was a lawyer. And he didn't believe the Word of God. So he was going to disprove the Word of God. Guess what he became? He became the foremost apologetic for Christ. Apologetic doesn't mean he's apologetic to everybody. No, he's a defender of Christianity. He wrote a book, The Verdict Demanded Evidence, or the other way around, I forgot the exact name. It's a phenomenal book. It's a very tedious book. It's a phenomenal book. You will find this combination there. All right. How many electrons is in, can you guess how many electrons is in the universe? Somebody didn't have anything better to do to calculate this. They said 1 in 10/76 power. It's less than half. of the, what the, Jesus fulfilled his 48 prophecies. I'd like to take a look at a few other foundations. Since we look at the accuracy of the Bible, especially regarding birth and the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and as a matter of fact, Christianity is based on Jesus Christ and life and death and resurrection. What about the other foundation? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans is right after the book of Acts in the New Testament. Romans chapter 10. By the way, if you like to have this sermon note, it will be posted up in website in about a week. You can download however you want to download. Right, Marissa? Absolutely. She said absolutely. When she said absolutely, that means absolutely. All right, Romans 10, verse 2. I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Did you hear what it says? They had a heart for religion, but they didn't have a right religion. As a matter of fact, I deny the Christianity's religion. Christianity is life, not lifestyle, life. It's a little life. Romans 10, verse 2 and 3. I read that thing from NIV, and some of you guys are, that's not the one my Bible says, especially Jack said. That's not in New King James. So what? I prefer this version and New International Version. I mentioned to you, I'm going to talk about Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness started with Charles Taze Russell in 1872. He did not like the eternal damnation and burning in hell. He didn't like that doctrine of Christianity. So he came up with his own doctrine, removing eternal damnation, removing deity of Jesus Christ, removing Trinity, removing Holy Spirit. Now, they have 4 million members around the world. It takes about 720 visits for them to, 740 visits per household to make the convert. And they are adding 200,000 people each year. They are very diligent people. They study about 14 hours a week of their New World Translation Bible. It is no wonder any Jehovah's Witness can take out Christian hands down, because the majority of Christians don't study the Word. They believe Jesus Christ is the first creation of God. They believe Holy Spirit is the active force. They believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is Jesus is born, resurrected in spirit only. He can be manifest in bodily form, but not in real body. Somehow the body is banished. The only way to get to be saved, their idea is joining their Jehovah's Witness organization. And the prophecy they claim, they all say they are the prophets. When you become Jehovah's Witness, you become prophet. However, their prophecy starting 1914 started to crumble. Never came true. They've been keep on making the prophecy until 1975. By the way, according to their prophecy, Jesus came to the earth in 1914 spiritually and ruling ever since. I don't see him. According to my Bible, he will come down, every eyes will see, every knee shall bow. What is their excuse for the not fulfilling the prophecy? According to my Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 18 said, if anyone who is prophesying falsely, let them be stoned. Well, we're going to have a lot of stone around the kingdom halls, every kingdom halls. So what's their excuse for not fulfilling their prophecies? They said that we are still learning. They are changing. How are they going to know that what they're saying is true? My God, my Jesus, fulfilled the odd 1 in 10, 157 power. The numbers we cannot come up with, the terms that we cannot even come up with. All right. Second foundation we will take a look at is Mormonism. Mormonism started in 1830 by Joseph Smith. Some of you guys know about it, with the 30 people. According to him, Jesus and the Father from heaven told him that Christianity is corrupted, so he's studying new religion and gave him inspiration. I think he had a bad breather. That's what happened. None of the 100 prophecies he promised came to true. And according to Mormon book, Joseph Smith died in martyr. Actually, he died by the mob, who were upset with him because he stole their wives. It doesn't stop there. His sexual endeavor goes on. It goes on to the area the going in, hanging around with a young woman, young girls. In other words, he's perverted child molesters. And he's the one who studied polygamy. Their religion is based on the male sexual fulfillment to be of godhood. Ladies, if you're a Mormon woman, you would be pregnant the rest of your eternal life. You like that idea, right? Mormon people work for their salvation. That's why there's 50,000 young men running around all over the world in dark pants and white shirts, tie, and bicycle. And that average 205 Christians get converted daily in America to Mormonism. Do you hear me? Average 250 Christians turn their faith to Mormonism. Why? Because these people know their doctrine. A lot of Christians don't know. Because of lack of knowledge, people turn their faith to the wrong foundation. Regarding the identification of Jesus Christ, he is God's most favored son. And he is a brother of Lucifer. Who is Lucifer? Satan. Later known as Satan. He was formerly archangel. That's what they claim to be, Jesus Christ. And for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they said he was tangibly bodily form. But, get this, guys. Father God himself had sex with Virgin Mary. That's where Jesus Christ came down. If you don't believe me, check the Mormon book. Just don't get into it. I'm not lying to you. And then, the Father himself is nothing more than a man who resurrected immortal man. And he became a God. What that does is that gives them base for them to become little g gods. Their goal is becoming little g gods. Is Christianity different? Yes. Are we going to be little g gods? No. We'll be children of God. There's a difference. Mormon believe that heaven is made in three levels. Celestial level, which is the highest level, all the good ones go there. Second level, terrestrial heaven. So lukewarm Mormons will get there, and honorable people who are blind, people who didn't know better, will get there. And terrestrial heaven is the lowest kind of God, and Christ will not be there. But those people will be there. Regarding salvation, this is the best portion of the whole Mormon doctrine. Guess who has the key for the salvation? The presence of the Latter-day Saint, that old man. He can say, oh yeah, you're saved. No, you're not saved. I don't like the way you part your hair. Man can decide somebody's salvation. Not in my book. According to Mormon book, Book of Mormon, Since Joseph Smith wrote it, there are 4,000 corrections had to be made. My Bible has been stay same. You may say, well, there's so many different versions. Correct. There are 18 different versions to be exact. And they added 6 more. Are they different? No. Has the same meaning. Just different way to say it. Instead of thou hast, you have. I prefer you have than thou hast. Here's the biggest kicker. According to Mormon doctrine, group of Hebrew people moved out from the Israel territory and went to Central America. They crossed all the way across the Pacific Ocean, 8,000 miles traveling, and went to Central America. And when they arrived there, they multiplied and then divided into 2 groups. One group were bad group. The other one is good group. And God threw His wrath on the bad group of people and their skin become dark. Yes, there is racism. That's the start. And then both tribes moved up to the America, United States area, and they got to have a fierce fighting among the 2 tribes. And the bad tribes annihilate the entire group, the other group, except one person, sole survivor, who became an angel. A man became an angel. By the way, if you watch the Touched by Angel or Highway to Heavens, all that thing is nothing but truth. All right? So, if I were you, don't watch it. It's full of bogus theology. That kind of thing makes me mad. Anyway, man cannot be an angel or woman cannot be an angel. According to their doctrine, he did. He showed up in front of Joseph Smith in 1830. Gave him inspiration to write a book by giving him the stack of gold leaves and giving him that inspiration and so he can write a Book of Mormon. And he did. That's the start of Mormon. In other words, if you listen to what I said, the people from the Central America and they're coming from the Israel. So American Indian should be connected with what? Who? Jewish people, correct? Are you with me? Yes? No? All right. Let's think that you guys are with me so far. So American Native Indians are connected with the Hebrews. So, in other words, they should be connected somehow. Guess what we have nowadays in legal court? In the criminal court, what we use often. Not only the fingerprint, what else do we use? DNA. Thank you. Those people who are specialized in DNA, studying the DNA, what do they call? Anthropologist. That's a 5,000 word. I had to pronounce many times to get this thing. Anthropologists, they are specialized in studying the DNA because DNA has a distinctive code. More than the fingerprint. They can identify one person because it's so unique. Mormon anthropologists wanted to prove that American Indians are connected with the Hebrew people. So they checked DNA from the Hebrew people. They checked it from the 170 people, different tribes of American Native Indians. They found a remarkable thing. Guess what? They didn't match. None whatsoever. So they backed out and they said, how about the linguistic similarity? And they checked. Guess what happened? None whatsoever. But however, they found one tribe in different location. Northeastern Asia, where the Mongol and the Siberia. If you look at American Indians, they have a very good similarity in the future with the people from the Siberia and the Mongol. They have the same future. And their DNA is matching to the core. Their language matches to the core. How do I know? This is published by the Living Hope Ministries. We have how many? Five videos. It's not something you can buy. You have to rent. For how long? 1 week? 2 weeks? 1 week at a time. If you have any doubt what I said, check it out. I'm not saying this. Mormon anthropologists are saying they are doubting their own doctrine and they are walking away from their own doctrines. Check it out. You think I'm lying? Challenge me. I don't mind challenge. Let's go back. Verse 28. And so it was that when Jesus had ended this saying, and the people were astonished at his teaching, and he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Jesus is the authority of the word. He is the author and finisher of our faith and life. He didn't say it like another scribe, another rabbi says, but he said, I say unto you, he is the one who has authority. Let's make a few applications. Number one, hearing the word of God doesn't mean a thing to God or thing to yourself or me. Do you hear me? Hearing the word of God, what you just heard all 40 minutes or 35 minutes, doesn't mean a thing to God. What you do with that, it makes a difference. James chapter 1, verse 22, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer. And don't deceive yourself. Second application, the most important aspect of Christian faith is not what we do. The most important aspect of Christian faith is not what we do. Whom do we believe? Whom we believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. Let's go there one more. I know if you guys close the Bible, don't ever close the Bible until I finish. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. No other foundation can anyone lay than which laid, which is what? Who can hear you? What?
Jesus.
Thank you. Third application. Jesus is the authority of all. Matthew 28, 18. Let's go there. Matthew 28, 18. If you go to the back of the Matthew, you'll find it real fast. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has given to me in heaven and earth and on earth. Jesus is the final authority. Whatever he says settles. It doesn't matter whether we believe or not. Bottom line. So I'm asking you, where's your foundation? Is your foundation depends on the religion you have? Is your foundation depends on the whatever the thing you're going to come up with? You can believe all you want. Truth remains. You can believe however you want to believe. You might say, you know, those Mormons, those Jehovah's Witness people, they are sincere, so sincere. Yeah, they are so sincerely wrong. What if I stand on top of the highest building in the country? And I believed, oh, I will overcome the gravity and jump off. What happened? I make a flat. Doesn't work. Truth remains. Truth is exclusive. Truth does not negotiate. Your choice, my choice. So as you heard the gospel message, Jesus Christ, there's no other way to get to heaven. Unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said to you, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Now, what are you going to say about it? Not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Let's stand up and pray.